Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. This is Coffee Break Radio. We're in Southern California, and boy, is it beautiful today. And I can't wait for you to hear about this wonderful resource and the author that wrote it that's coming up. Oh, you are going to love this show today. But first, I want to give you a little fast food. Ephesians 3:18. It's a prayer to Jesus. Jesus, help me to comprehend the immensity of your love for me and experience it more fully. And in reading this book of devotionals, that's exactly what happens. So I am thrilled to introduce you all to April King, who has written a wonderful 365-day devotional, Words for the Weary. And when you come to my website, you'll see a picture of the book cover. And April, welcome. I can't wait to hear
what you have to say today.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Good. Well, first of all, I want to know a little bit about you, how you got into writing, why you decided to write this book, how long it took, and kind of what was your journey a little bit.
Sure. All right. Well, I live in San Diego, California, and I've been married to my husband, Greg, for 43 years. We have three adult children. And in younger days, I worked as a nurse and then as a teacher. And I've loved and studied scripture from my childhood, and I've learned to pray and follow Jesus from a very young age. But, you know, I've always seen myself as just an ordinary person. But as I've grown older, I've realized that I've experienced the extraordinary presence and power of God throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And so, Sheila, I hadn't planned on writing a devotional. My book, Words for the Weary, had its beginning probably about 5 years ago during a really trying time in my life. I tore a tendon in my foot, and life slowed down drastically. Sitting in my favorite rocking chair one morning, I was reading God's Word, and I found myself in conversation with Him about my discouragement. Then I was quiet, and God responded. One line came into my mind, I see you. So I wrote the line down, and then I just kept writing what He was whispering to me. And this became like a daily adventure of picturing myself sitting at the feet of Jesus, quieting myself to listen, and writing down what I heard. And He seemed so eager to speak to me. His words were from the scripture, but they were spoken in such a way that felt new and fresh to me because I've been a believer for so many decades. I'd heard a lot of devotionals, but His words were encouraging and often enchanting. And this morning's listening time became my favorite time of day. What was He going to talk to me about next? Then I began to share what I'd heard with other people around me, and they were refreshed. So Isaiah 50 verses 4 and 5 came alive to me. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. He has opened my ears. I have not turned away. So as the months of daily writing went by, I realized that God wanted me to take what He'd been telling me and write a devotional for others. And so the cover of my book, Words for the Weary, has a picture of a waterfall on it because I see my book as being a 365-day experience where the reader can step under the waterfall of God's words. So I wanted to read a devotional from the book called Devoted and just give you a taste of what the devotionals are like.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you. Devote yourself to be close to me. This doesn't mean that you're to become more religious, but as you pass through your day, share moments with me. Use your amazing senses to experience things in my company. At the day's beginning, listen to the birds singing and marvel that I know each one and what it's singing about. I made something warm and alive that, although small and often unnoticed, can fly. marvel at this miracle. As you sip your tea or coffee and eat your food, enjoy the tastes and textures and thank me not only before you eat, but as you eat. Slow down and pause to truly experience the small wonders you encounter, a child, an animal, an odd-shaped cloud in the sky, or a delightful melody. Share that wonder with me. During difficult moments in your day, reach out with your mind to grab my hand and say, Lord, be with me in this. As you pass through life, why do you remain devoted to your own loneliness when I so desire to be close to you? If you could see me clearly as I really am, you'd be both overwhelmed by my majesty and filled with longing for my attention at the same time. You have my attention. I'm devoted to you. Be devoted to me. And this devotional comes from two scriptures. One is God speaking in Jeremiah 30:21, where he says, For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? And the other one is from Hebrews 10:22, Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Mm-hmm. And so my book is divided into 52 weeks, and each week has 5 devotions.
Well, I just have to say something. Last night I opened your book because I wanted to read some of it and get a feel for what you really were doing. And when you opened up and said, learning to listen, sitting in your rocking chair and learning to listen, those words really spoke to me about we really have to learn to listen to the Lord and give him time and space to do that. And I loved your writing style because your writing, the stories, are as though Jesus is writing scripture to me personally. And I started reading it, and I could not stop. I just kept reading and reading, and I thought, wait, I want to use this as my devotion. If I read everything tonight, I'm not going to have anything to look forward to. So I had to make myself stop because it was your style is so honest and so real. And when I read the story of the Red Rose, that absolutely made me cry. So I just have to tell you, I think you are an extremely gifted writer. And this devotional is a complete gem because it invites people in and kind of hand carries them through the process of developing an intimate relationship with the Lord. And it's simple, it's straightforward, and it's honest, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, thank you, Sheila. Well, you brought up the story, The Red Rose, the first story, and actually I have 52 stories in this book, and they're short stories, and what happened was during these weeks of writing, I felt like the Lord also told me to write down stories from my 62-year conversational relationship with him, and telling others how I'd learned to recognize his voice. Lots of times in hindsight when I'd say, oh, well, that was God, and how I learned to obey him. And I know a lot of people have their favorite devotionals that they like to read over and over again, and I have some of those, or they would rather just read God's Word. And I know, though, that even if a person was to get a copy of my book and just read the 52 stories of my adventures with Jesus, I think they'll be inspired and blessed. So I wanted to read one of these stories of how God used me when I worked as a nurse. It's called Overdose.
Yeah. Good.
When I was in my early 20s, I worked the day shift as a nurse at Mercy Hospital in San Diego on one of the surgical floors. One morning, however, I was assigned to float to the teaching floor. After sighing deeply, I headed downstairs. I had heard of this floor from others who floated. It was understaffed and busy. During the nurses' conference, I was given 8 patients. One was a lady who needed to be suctioned frequently or she couldn't breathe. She was extremely anxious and panicked often, so her relatives summoned me many times during my shift to come in, calm her down, and suction her air passageways. Between caring for her and making sure the other patients got their meals, meds, their baths, and fresh bed changes, I was running my tail off. It seemed that doctors and interns were constantly at the desk changing orders. One kept writing in a script that even Sherlock Holmes would have trouble deciphering. Trying to balance completing all the physical tasks with giving emotional care and reassurance was a challenge. But before I'd begun this wild shift, the nurse in charge told me, one of your patients is an 18-year-old girl who overdosed. Check in on her, but you don't have to do anything. As she spoke with me and the other nurses, I perceived that there was nothing that could be done for this girl. She was going to die. Mm-hmm. During my shift, it seemed as though I was the only one who went into her private room. No parents or friends were with her. The room was as quiet as a tomb. In the midst of running back and forth to suction feed, clothe, medicate, and discharge patients, I heard the Holy Spirit say, go into her room and give her a bed bath. So I did. Though she was not conscious, I introduced myself knowing that hearing is the last sense to go. I bathed her face gently. Her toes and fingers were black due to lack of oxygen. I felt such sorrow enter my heart for her. As I washed this girl, I told her about Jesus and his kingdom. I spoke of his great love for her and how, no matter what mistakes she had made in the past, he was eager to forgive her and take her to heaven to live with him. In her vegetative state, there was no response, but the room was quiet and filled with peace. No one came in and interrupted. There was no voice over the intercom summoning me to any of my patients' rooms as there had been all morning. Finishing, I gave one last touch to her cheek and left. As I came out of the room carrying the bath basin, the charge nurse saw me. She gave me such a scolding. Why are you wasting time washing that girl, she demanded. I didn't answer but scurried down the hall toward another patient's room. About a half an hour later, the charge nurse called me to the nurse's station and said, our overdose patient has passed away. I knew immediately that God had brought me to this floor on this particular day to tell a lonely teenage girl that he wanted to welcome her home. Mm-hmm. The Savior had planned a rescue and had let me be a part of the rescue team. The shift had been stressful. My charge nurse had yelled at me. I had to stay for 2 hours overtime to finish all my charting, but my heart was singing. I'd been chosen. I'd been sent. I did what he told me to do. I had no doubt that one day I'd see this young woman again. She lived strong and beautiful, loved and whole in the kingdom of heaven. So that's one of my stories, and at the end of each story I tell, I have a prayer the reader can pray with me. And the prayer at the end of this story is, Jesus, you're constantly seeking to save lost people. Please give us opportunities to be a part of your rescue team. So that's kind of a heavy, serious story, but I wanted to read a shorter story that is a more humorous story because I do have lighthearted stories also, yes. And this is called Perfect Praise.
Let me just make
Many years ago.
Just a second, April.
Sure.
You successfully made both Adam and I cry. So it's good you're doing a lighthearted one next. Oh my goodness, that is so. That was just so tender and sweet. I went through it so fast
because I cry.
I'll bet.
So many years later, I cry. So, So I think a lighthearted one at this point. I needed to go to for sure.
Good idea.
It's called Perfect Praise. Many years ago, I strapped my 3-year-old daughter into her car seat and headed for Costco. As I drove, it began to rain. The drops pounded on the windshield harder and faster. I turned on the wipers, but nothing happened. Fiddling with them yielded no results, so in order to see every few blocks, I had to pull the car over, get out quickly, and wipe the windshield with a rag. Finally, shivering and soaked, I told my daughter, Jasmine, let's pray that God will make our wipers work so Mommy can see to drive. Idling by the side of the road, I prayed aloud, asking for God's help. Then I pulled back into traffic. The wipers began to swish back and forth. Excited by God's immediate answer, I spoke to my 3-year-old over my shoulder and said, Jasmine, God answered Mommy's prayer. Look, they're working. Then thinking to make this a teaching moment for my daughter, I asked, Jasmine, do you want to thank God for answering our prayer? All was silent in the back seat. I thought, oh, she's too young. She doesn't understand. Suddenly, Jasmine burst into song, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow that nobody can deny. I thought about it. He is good. He is filled with joy, so that's jolly, isn't it? I realized even though she was young, Jasmine got it. She knew who God was. Later that day when I was recalling her song, I remembered that Jesus said, out of the mouths of babes, you have perfected praise. Her simple song of thanks was perfect praise for a God who is both jolly and good, that although they try, eventually, finally, no one will be able to deny. And then my prayer after that was, Lord, as our bodies get older, help our spirits get younger, so we'll love you with childlike passion, giving you the perfect praise you deserve.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, now, can you talk to us a little bit about breath prayers? I love that concept.
I will. This is the third part of my devotional, and it's the seventh day. And the breath prayers, I give an explanation in my book because I have one breath prayer for each devotion. And the explanation in my book's introduction says this. I ask, is praying as natural as breathing for you? That's what breath prayers are all about, saying the first phrase of the prayer as you breathe in and the last phrase as you breathe out. Said throughout the day, they take on the rhythm and role of natural breathing, breathing fresh oxygen in to fuel and sustain your life. Likewise, these breath prayers can become a form of spiritual breathing that sustains your communication with God. And so how did I come to write these breath prayers? Well, I had finished my stories, my devotions, and I thought, oh, I'm ready to publish, but I need something for the seventh day. And I thought, well, I'll just give people a break on the seventh day. But the Lord just said, no, I want you to go back and read through the Bible. It took me 6 months. And I want you to jot down one-line breath prayers paraphrased from specific scriptures as you read along. And I wrote over 2,000 of them, and my book
goodness.
Contains 260 of these, so I guess I'm going to have to write some more books.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like it.
Well, I'll give you some examples.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Sheila?
I was just going to say, give us an example. Show us how to do it.
Yes. Okay, well, sometimes we want to worship God, but we don't know what to say. And so here are three breath prayers of worship found in my book. The first one is a paraphrase of Psalm 111:12. How great are the things you've made. I'm fascinated and delighted with them. And then the second one is, Lord, who is like you, majestic and awesome, working wonders. And this is from Exodus 15:11. And the third one here is, I rejoice in you, my wonderful God. And that's taken from Isaiah 61:10. And see, they only take a breath in and a breath out. And what I do is I write them on cards, and I'll say them throughout my day. And because they're so short, it's easy to memorize them and just take them along with you during the day. And here's some breath prayers about trusting God instead of letting fear control us. So, paraphrased from Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And I learned this breath prayer years ago before I even thought about a breath prayer when I suddenly got appendicitis and I was going to go into surgery. And I just remembered that I had read this in the scriptures, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And I just said that over and over to myself. And here's another one from Psalm 34:4. This is a direct breath prayer from the scripture. Deliver me from all my fears. And boy, do we need to pray that these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the third subject here is about purpose, which I think is so important these days, that we all need a purpose. And I've been praying this one a lot lately. It's inspired by Esther 4:12-14. Help me fulfill the destiny you've appointed for me, speaking up and not shrinking back. And here's another one from James 4:14. My life is a mist that vanishes quickly. Help me make the most of my time. And then from Psalm 90:17, let your beauty be upon me. May the good works I do have eternal significance. And one more from Acts 20, verse 24. Help me finish my race by completing what you've given me to do. And so, you know, we all of us have a purpose. God has put us on this earth at this time and place to fulfill our personal destiny. But we need Jesus, you know, and we're told he's the vine, we're the branches. And if we remain in close connection with him, his life-giving spirit will flow through us and we'll be healthy and bear fruit for his kingdom. And so I just wanted to share one more devotion. I know we're coming to the end, but this one God put on my heart, and it's called New Things. I want to do new things in your life, but you're so attached to the old. You look with envy at stories of my early disciples like Philip, whom I sent on an adventure to advance my kingdom. An Ethiopian official was reading Isaiah 53 in his chariot, his heart searching for the Messiah. Philip ended up baptizing the man after he decided to believe in me. Sometimes I try to summon you, but your mind is too buried in your TV or phone to listen for my voice when you say, well, that was a waste of time. I'm somewhat sad for you, for if you're not attentive to me, you'll miss what would truly interest and excite you. I'm doing so much in the world, and I want you, my friend, to share in my excitement. Give me more of your attention. Let go of your previous patterns of inattention. Give me more space to walk about in your mind and engage you in conversation. Your life is too boring. Ask me to liven it up, for abundant life does not mean more possessions or entertainment, but more movement in the flow of my spirit outward to those people to whom I'll send you. Let go of some of the old in your life. Get ready for the new. And this comes from two scriptures. One, Acts 8, which talks about the story of Philip. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah, and with that very passage told him the good news about Jesus. And then the last scripture is Isaiah 42, 8 and 9. I am the Lord. New things I declare.
I just love that. I love that. This is a must-buy for Christmas. I'm thinking of all the people on my Christmas list I want to give this to because it is absolutely wonderful.
Oh,
absolutely
bless you. Well,
wonderful. Yeah.
Really want people to have the book just because, you know, I've experienced so much joy following the Lord in my life, 62 years. I know how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how wonderful it is to have him use you in this world to help other people and to know that he's leading you and to say things to people and have their weary hearts just be refreshed and come alive. And I know the Lord has a purpose for each one of us. He'll use each one of us in the way that he created us, but also he just wants to be near to each one of us. He's so near.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we so often forget that. We so often forget that with the busyness of our lives. I just am so pleased that you were able to give us time today to hear about this. And while I was waiting for the time to come up, I went into Amazon to look at your reviews. I know that's kind of bad, but I couldn't help myself. Every single one of them is a 5-star. I mean, the people that are buying this love your book. And one of the cutest reviews was from a guy who had been reading your book. It was his wife's devotional, and he had started reading it. And he said, I have to buy one of my own because I can't write in my wife's devotional. I want my own. So I just love that it appeals to both men and women, and I think it would appeal to young people because it's so straightforward and so honest.
Well, you know, my prayer is always that whoever God wants to read it will get a copy, whoever.
Yeah.
And I think it's so amazing how you and I connected that somehow of just one of my author's little cards was in your purse. I didn't put it there.
Well, I don't even know how I got your card, but I was cleaning out my purse one day and it just sort of surfaced and I went, huh, that's interesting. So I looked up the book and I thought, well, I'll just check it out to see if I want to, you know, do something with it. And I ordered it and then I started reading it and I went, oh my gosh, I need to talk to this gal. And then it turned out we're at the same church. I mean,
yep.
It's just that all has like God's fingerprints all over it. All over.
Sneaky, huh?
Yeah, very, very sneaky.
In a good
very
way.
Sneaky.
In a good way.
And right. He has a great sense of humor.
I just
love that we've had this time together. Now, is there a way that people can order your book, get in touch with you if they want you to come and talk to their group or to their church? How would they contact you and how would they get a copy of this wonderful book?
Okay, there's multiple ways. You can buy my book, Words for the Weary, from Amazon.com, or if you live in San Diego, you can buy it at Twice Treasured Thrift Store in La Mesa, California. I just put it on sale there. Or you can email me at rosewind@cox.net for other options. It's all one word, small letter, rosewind, R-O-S-E-W-I-N-D, at cox.net. And also I have a blog on my website, Waterfall Words, and the address for that is april-king.com. Also, I have a page on Facebook called Waterfall Words, and I put stories and devotions and breath prayers for my book on that.
Okay, so your blog is in april-king.com, and then you have
mm-hmm.
a Facebook page. And how,
yes, called Waterfall Words.
A Facebook page is Waterfall Words.
Yes.
Okay. I'm writing all this down. We'll put that up on the website so that people can contact you. Well, I am just so thrilled to have had this time with you, and I really appreciate your giving us the time, and I just think the Lord has blessed. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention before we go, I
sure.
read the very last story about your history and
yes.
all of the fabulous writers in your genetic line and all the fabulous pastors.
Seven ministers, they all wrote books. The earliest one is in the 1500s, John Knox. They all wrote books, and I was able to go on Amazon and purchase all of their books. I have a book from each one of them.
Isn't
and it's
that
such
amazing?
A blessing.
Oh, my goodness.
It is a heritage, I know. It gives me boldness to speak out and know that is in my bloodline, is to preach the gospel.
Yes. Well, you're doing it very, very well. That's all I have to say.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you so much for being with us today, and you have a very blessed day.
And thank you, dear, so much.
Bye-bye.